This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, live downtown Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is your spot. A three-hour banger lined up today, much like Yuri and his speech and Curb Your Enthusiasm. We finally made it to the big game, Pauly. It is here, the lid lifter for the 2026 NFL season, and I can't wait for it tonight to kick off. I can't wait to do this three-hour program. How the hell are you today?
All right. Center stage, baby. Looking forward to it. Glad it's here. A lot of props to go over, and going to make the case for a 40-1 anytime touchdown today.
Hold on a second here. Anytime.
Yeah, baby.
Whoa, okay.
Anytime.
Are you saying that we need to do let's have some guts, get nuts, have some guts here today?
Yeah.
All right. So basically on the screen, Seahawks down to 3 with juice or 3.5, maybe juice the other way on the Patriots at this point. The total hovering around 44, 44.5. I was kind of hoping that this would go back up to like 45 everywhere and then bet under in the game. Look, I mean, the Pats were an offensive machine a year ago, almost 29 points per game, 8.5 yards passing per attempt. That led the league. However, as a reminder, they did not face a top 10 in the league during the entire regular season. Then all four teams they played in the postseason were top 10 defenses, and that went down to 248 yards per game and 16.8 points per game. Incredible. Drake May had 828 passing yards in 4 playoff games, 6 touchdowns and 4 INTs. He took 21 sacks in the 4 playoff games, at least 5 sacks in every single game. The Seahawks total sacks prop tonight is 3.5 minus 120. How much does that change tonight? Like, is he going to be under pressure much like he was in the Super Bowl?
So did he struggle in the playoffs because they played elite competition, or he was compromised and banged up with that shoulder injury? Now, that's one thing you have to assess when you think about his play and also what this team will do this season as well. I think he was banged up, but he certainly was terrible in the playoffs and how bad he was in the Super Bowl. Can they protect him tonight? Easier said than done, and I know it's just going to be a madhouse how loud it's going to be, and you're going against the number one third down defense in the NFL last year, only allowed 32%. So that's, but I am excited to see these new toys, and that's one thing that'll help him, because to me it's night and day. You know, Mac Hollins is a nice piece, but he's a complimentary guy. He's
right.
Like a fourth guy. But when you can bring in A.J. Brown and get Dobbs, and to bring that, and you know, Diggs was a head case as well, that these are your 1-2 dynamic duo here. This is big.
Well, and obviously the entire narrative here is the hype machine around A.J. Brown, and I get it. Like, he's obviously a very good wide receiver. Are we sleeping on Romeo Dobbs overall? I'm talking about like tonight and full season, what he can mean to the offense. His yards prop tonight's like 35.5. I thought...
Yeah, Pop Douglas is 19.5.
Right.
I mean, think about that. That's low.
I thought when Dobbs was with the Packers, and so you're talking about all those young receivers, Dobbs, Watson. Well, Watson was so banged up, might be a little unfair here, and Reed. I thought Dobbs was the best receiver on Green Bay, at least in flashes. And I think he's a really good possible number two to this team. And your guy now, the backup tight end, we'll see what that dynamic is going to be like tonight as well.
Maybe you can take a sit back and relax and wait, sit and wait approach, though, too, because it's week one. And I don't know what. Yeah, you're right. Good point. Like, how much run will this tight end get out of Notre Dame, the rookie? If he's taking more reps than Henry at practice,
right,
does he come in and have an immediate impact? I can't even see props on the guy.
No, I can't even see
other than he's just offered for touchdowns. First and any time.
Yep.
So who's his go-to guy? Does he spread it around? Does he look at A.J. Brown a lot? Does it a lot of dump-offs to Stevenson? So I who knows how this is going to look and what's going to transpire tonight. But I do think that I would give the Notre Dame kids some running if you believe what they put out there in the reports. We mentioned the Boston Globe and the NBC Boston article that they love the kid and they have big plans for
him. Yep. I am not going to steal the thunder of Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian. He's coming up on the show today at 6 o'clock Eastern. I will just say that Charch sent me a text yesterday, and he said, do you have a minute? And I said, of course, right now is a great time because I'm starting two fantasy drafts at about 15. He goes, okay, call me immediately. And he goes, Mitch, I know that I'm coming on the show on Thursday. However, there is a betting angle, in his opinion, that is so juicy for tonight. And I'm like, okay, good. You want to come on for 5 minutes? He goes, yes, absolutely. So he is going to explain that player coming up at 6 o'clock Eastern time. I will tell you that with the departure of Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet not on the Seahawks here for a minute, they drafted Jadarian Price in the first round. They have George Helani as the backup. Last year, when you looked at the Seahawks overall, they were sixth in DVOA in the passing game, specifically to running backs. They attempted 7.6 passes per game to the running back position. That was tied for the most in the NFL with the 49ers with Christian McCaffrey. The next closest team averaged 6.4. Running backs averaged 37.9 yards per game in the passing attack for Seattle last year. That was sixth most. I just told you that Walker and Charbonnet are not on the team tonight. Charbonnet's on the team, but he's not playing. Walker's gone. Don't we like Sam Darnold here with JSN clearly being his primary target? And then after that, some dump-offs to the running backs. The numbers are so low in this game tonight for the running backs.
Well, this is the big question, though. Who are they going to miss the most? And Adam Chernoff says it's Kubiak. We have a guest on in half an hour who covers the Seahawks and going to tell us all about Brian Fleury, who they bring over from the San Francisco organization.
He wrote an elite story about this guy.
Yeah, Mitch retweeted it. So did I. This is, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to be different. I don't know how much they're going to keep from last year. I will point out this team averaged 31 a game at home. And the biggest thing, I mentioned it for 2 weeks straight, but it's huge to me. This team went 14-3 and had 28 freaking turnovers. Second most in the league. Didn't turn it over in the entire playoff run when they won the Super Bowl. So if you can go 14-3 and almost go undefeated and win that many games, number one, your defense is filthy. Number two, you have a hell of a team. But I don't know what this is going to look like tonight in terms of the new OC and how much they're going to miss Kubiak. And maybe that is a big loss. And it certainly takes time to get used to Fleury and what the system he's running as well. And I will point out that the JSN, what his props are at, and does Gonzalez take him away? Kupp was excellent in the Super Bowl, and they also expect a larger role out of Shaheed this year as well for Seattle. But there's a lot of question marks tonight, and to me, that's the biggest one about how much they're going to miss Kubiak.
I'm glad you brought up JSN. He had 10 targets in the Super Bowl. However, 4 catches for 27 yards on 10 targets. Now, that was an off game for him. He won Offensive Player of the Year. He had 84-plus yards in 14 of 17 regular season games last year. He averaged more than 105 yards per game. 9 100-yard games in the playoffs, 3 for 19 and a touchdown against the Niners. They didn't really have to throw the ball. Against the Rams in that shootout, 10 for 153 and a touchdown. So does his performance kind of mirror what took place in the Super Bowl now that Christian Gonzalez is back and going to be playing for the team? 10 targets, 4 catches, 27 yards. That was one of the worst games he had last year, obviously.
Yeah. And maybe they try to get him involved early, too. I do think they'll be able to run the ball. I think there'll be a big push to get Price involved early. And he can have a pretty good game. The other thing is Sam play clean. But I know you're on a prop, too. We just watched this game. It was a massacre. What's going to change now they're at home in the pomp and circumstance they lift the banner? They couldn't protect them. Are they going to be able to protect them tonight against that ferocious defensive line? And they were so good with the sacks, and they dominated last year in the Super Bowl and what they did. Never trailed in the game. A garbage touchdown late to make a misleading score. More than 15 punts in the game. And May couldn't get anything going until it was garbage time.
That's right.
So
they could
do
nothing
look
at all.
Yeah. And if you're also of the opinion that the defense is ahead of the offense in week one, that's another angle to go over with the sacks prop if you want to tie in both teams as well. And you could see mistakes up front with both O-lines. Yeah. That could happen.
More than $12 million at Kelce on the game tonight in the pool. I'd like to say that this is going to be one of the heaviest bet games of the entire year, but I don't think that's going to be close to accurate.
I know. But no. this is wild that the spread's only three after what we just watched.
Well, all that money, I mean, earlier today I looked at the betting splits at VSiN.com.
Yeah.
And you can go up there, check it out. They have DraftKings and also Circa. Tell you, I mean, a lot of it was on Seattle.
Makes sense.
70% earlier today on Seattle, both bets and handle.
The Super Bowl loser, week one, 27% ATS since 2000. My God.
Oh.
And a 17-4 run for the champs at home when they open up, straight up, that they take care of business. So that's what the Patriots are up against. Not to mention one of the best home fields in all of sports as well tonight.
Look at the differences there. We just showed it on the screen. And it went up here at Circa, 72% here at Circa on the Seahawks, 73% of the handle. Meanwhile, at DraftKings, lopsided towards the Patriots. And at Circa, yep. Where are we sitting at here? Three minus 115 on the game.
Yeah.
I would say if it goes to 45, if there's like a late rush of over money, you want to bet under 45 for the game? To your point, defenses are ahead of the offenses.
The first half under. Could be crap late.
Sure. No. Okay.
You believe this? Coco forced a third set.
It's happening all over the place here.
There have been six quarterfinals, men, women. All of them have gone the distance.
Been an awesome U.S. Open, man. Which team will have more wins this year? There is an ARB opportunity available for those of you into that kind of thing, but you need to be very careful with the fine print. I will point that out next here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here's some breaking news that stinks. Ian Rappaport tweeted out not that long ago, All-Pro tight end Brock Bowers underwent a meniscus trim Tuesday in Dallas with Daniel Dr. Cooper and is expected to miss, quote, a game or two. League sources told him and Adam Schefter he got banged up a little bit in camp and the injury was diagnosed late last week. The Raiders are now down to a 3-point favorite at home against Miami. And on the screen here, it says 3 minus 105 at FanDuel.
Just terrific. Just a great start to the season for the Raiders. One of the higher-ups here, Stevie Cohen, injury expert and also Raider fan. Quote, I've seen that injury go as long as 4 to 6 weeks recovery time.
Man,
just putting
man.
That out there, too.
Well, now, I wonder, does that get people off of Survivor? So it came down from 3.5 to 3. Betting the game, I always look at this, right? Betting the game that you're looking at for Survivor is maybe completely different. Because if you like the Raiders before, now it's 3. Like, are you going to say, oh my God, I can't imagine now the Raiders winning this game. Like, he's a tight end. He's the best probably tight end in football. Mm-hmm. But does that mean that you hate the bet now? I'm asking the question. Probably shouldn't. But if you're thinking about Survivor, and I know a lot of you were, on the Raiders in week one, does this now completely get you off the game?
I would think it should, yes.
It should change your mind.
Yes. It's a big piece and a major weapon.
Well, he is by far and away their best weapon.
Uh-huh.
He's one of the best in football. I'll tell you what, people made a good case for him. I read this last night.
Most catches?
Most catches in the entire league and other people who I didn't get down on this one. I can get down with most catches, but other people making the case for Brock Bowers, offensive player of the year. Because you knew that with Kubiak running things, that he was going to be a complete target monster in this offense with Kirk Cousins.
That's aggressive.
Man.
He was in store for a big year. Still can happen, but if they misses a couple games, that's brutal.
Let me point this out.
That also helps out if he's not there week two when they play the Chargers.
Of course.
Helps out your Survivor play with the Chargers.
Okay, so you can find this at several books. You can match any team in the NFL against another and get a price on what it is to have the most head-to-head wins this year in the regular season. For example, more regular season wins at FanDuel. Think about this for a second. Seahawks minus 120, Patriots plus 150. So immediately, I sent this to a couple of like people who I'm just like, you don't see this very often. In theory, that's a really good arbitrage, right? At DraftKings, Seahawks minus 105, Pats plus 140. So you could bet the Seahawks minus 105 at DK, Patriots plus 150. At FanDuel, balance it out to guarantee yourself a winning day at the end of the year. But when you click on and expand the rules at DraftKings, for example, NFL ties do not count as wins. The team named in the market title must finish the regular season with more wins than the selected team. If both teams finish with the same number of wins, bets will be settled as a loss.
I was going to ask if it's a three-way. All right.
Holy smokes.
There you go, doctor. Well done. All right. Are both of these playoff teams? Both teams are minus 225 at DraftKings to make the playoffs. Bill Barnwell today, ESPN. Since 2002, when a team wins their division, 60% of them get back the next year. It's 54% if you're a wild card going back that make it back. But usually there's a lot of turnover and we expect five to six new different or new playoff teams. But let me start there with, are these both playoff teams?
Okay, I'm going to go yes on Seattle. Love the coach, love the defense. I'm getting there with Sam Darnold.
You're getting there?
Yeah. Look, I asked you if we can trust
the... Two guys have won back-to-back 14-win seasons, him and Brady.
Paul, let me remind you...
I'm not saying he's Brady, but this is... I have to throw out the Jets and Carolina debacle.
Did I not ask you recently if we can trust Sam Darnold fully at this point? You said no?
I'm on board. In terms of, I'm not going to doubt the team because of Sam Darnold after he just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I like the guy. Yeah. I like the guy. I think what we have seen the last 2 years is more of what we're going to get moving forward than the guy who existed before, circa 2 years ago.
Yeah, I keep saying, what if he's clean? I mean, that is ridiculous. That's still insanity to me that they won that many games and they were a turnover machine, yes.
And I would say, again, for the people like in the Boston area, I don't hate the Patriots. I really don't. Last year, I thought they were completely fugazi, got the benefit of a... Come on, let's be real. Easiest schedule since 1979. I think the team is going to be better this year. I don't know how many wins, though. And I'm trying to come up with, like, how many teams they're going to potentially be behind in the AFC. If all... Buffalo, obviously, probably going to be pretty damn good again this year. Baltimore, Cincinnati, people like Pittsburgh as a playoff team. I am borderline in love with Houston. You can make a case that Jacksonville is going to be right there as a playoff team again this year. Then you got the Chiefs, Chargers, that's like 10 teams in the AFC.
Mm-hmm. It's wide open and deep, yes.
So I say yes to Seattle, to New England. I say, I don't know.
And let me get you on the record. If one of the team that makes it or misses, who will have a better year? Seattle or the team that plays tomorrow with the Niners? Because the love affair with the Rams continues, and rightfully so.
Not to Seahawks.
The Seahawks will win more games than the 49ers.
Yeah, jot me down. Okay. I did find this, again, different books at different prices, always shop around. So in the fast futures at DraftKings, they are offering right now JSN most receiving yards first three games. He's 14-1. So he gets the Pats passing defense. And if you look at Pro Football Focus, they grade every defensive unit that quarterbacks are going to face, running backs and wide receivers, on a scale from 0 to 10. 0 being the hardest, 10 being the easiest. The Patriots pass defense is a 0.5. So JSN, like I said in the Super Bowl, maybe he doesn't do anything tonight. After this, he gets Arizona. Their defense gets a 9.6 and Washington a 9.5. What if he has a good game tonight? There's an angle and a chance where he goes ballistic against those two teams, and 14-1 after three games looks dynamite with that.
Yeah. Or maybe they feed A.J. Brown and he has a big game tonight and a big first three games too. He's 20-1 because still a lot of losses and a lot on the defensive side of the ball for Seattle.
Yeah, the problem with that is the New England opponents out of the gates, very, very good against wide receivers and extremely good against quarterbacks. That's why I didn't look there.
Mm-hmm.
Division wins at DK. Patriots 4.5. Are they going to win five games in their division? That means clean sweep of the bad teams.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Okay.
And then they split with the Bills. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Seahawks.
I don't think that's outrageous.
Division win total for Seahawks, 3.5.
Yeah, that's about right. That's tough.
I'll tell you this. Drake May, who was so good last year, 4,000 yards passing is plus 135. If he stays healthy, he's not going to soar by 4,000 yards passing?
Now, what happened with him week one? He was terrible out of the gates. The whole team was.
Well,
they lost to the one of the incredible results of the season. They lost at home to the Raiders. Well, Drake May was terrible in that game.
Yeah. And by the way, May, Darnold, neither guy took a snap in the preseason. There is this. Yep. We're going to expand on this coming up in about 7 minutes on the new OC for the Seattle Seahawks. Here's Mike McDonald, their head coach, on advice for new Seahawks OC Brian Fleury.
Yeah, I think it's about, I think it's with, like with the rest of our players, it's trusting our training, trusting the preparation. Definitely, you know, you feel the butter. I still do that. You know, you still feel, you're always going to feel there's, you know, whatever. Is it anxiety? Is it excitement? Those things are natural. It means you care. It means it matters to you. I hope our players feel that. But it's also, you know, when you do have those feelings, understand like, hey, you know, we're still playing a football game that we prepared for, and take a deep breath and go let it rip and let's rock and roll.
Yeah, talking about being nervous, anxious for the game. How would he not be? He's never called plays before in his life.
He comes from San Francisco, and so they're big with the fullback there, and he's big in his system. The Juszczyk role will be Brady Russell. Brady Russell, 40-1, anytime touchdown.
There's tonight. Your guy.
That's it. So it's right there in quotes. It's right there in articles out there. Brady Russell will be our Kyle Juszczyk. And would you know the guy got in the end zone on a regular basis? The guy was a big part of their offense. So he comes over with the San Francisco mindset and fullback. It's right there in quotes. He said it. So 40-1 anytime. That's a bomb, but why not? 130-1 first touchdown of the game if you want to get nuts tonight.
I will admit that I don't know where he is from, Brady Russell. Can I guess that he's from New England? And they named the Russells named him Brady so they could have Tom Brady and Bill Russell as a combo name? Is that a complete reach on my part?
From California.
Tom Brady's from California.
Yeah, you can count it.
There, bingo. Rack that one up. That's a winner
count
right there.
It. There it is.
We'll chalk that one up.
There it is.
40-1, huh? Anytime.
Yeah. It's right there in quotes.
Could they?
From the OC himself.
Maybe. So here's the thing. You're not going to find player props on him, though, at all.
No, it's all touchdown. I know. Yeah. It's like Eli, the tight end from Notre Dame. Yep.
So they could do like a rollout, fullback.
Sure.
Goes the other way. He's wide open in the end zone. Darnold hits him 40-1. Bang. All right. We'll go to Seattle up next. Andrew Destin covers the Hawks for The Athletic. He wrote a terrific story about the new Seahawks OC, Brian Fleury. What will the transition look like going from Clint Kubiak to him? We'll ask him next here on VSiN. Much more on the game tonight. Super Bowl rematch. Seahawks, Patriots, Seattle down to 3 at most spots. Some 3.5s out there. Different juice, obviously, on either side when you're going to look at that. And Andrew Destin joins the program now. Seahawks beat writer for The Athletic. Already at the stadium, the way it sounds. Andrew, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, already at the stadium. We had the press conference today for the Kosola family taking over the Seahawks at about 11 today. So writing off of that, getting a story live in a little bit. But that's what brings us to Lumen Field already today.
All right.
It'll be a full day, no doubt. I thought you wrote an excellent story on the Seahawks' new offensive coordinator, Brian Fleury, who we were just talking about. You tweeted out, stoic, reserved, dry-humored, self-deprecating. That's my kind of guy, but he's never done this before, right? Called plays offensively. He's done almost everything else. So how should we expect this to look tonight?
I think we should expect it to look pretty similar to last year's offense under Clint Kubiak. And that's not to say that it's going to have Brian Fleury's own unique style, which thank you again for the kind words. I think this is going to be a very, very similar offense. I kind of hinted at it in the story, but it's going to be a lot of zone scheme in the running game. It's going to be a lot of play action passing with Sam Darnold getting him on the move. frankly, I expect Jackson Smith and Jigba to be featured prominently in this offense. The only thing that's really going to be different is, will there be a lot more tight end involvement? And that only works well for the Seahawks, considering how highly they think of A.J. Barner, how highly they think of Elijah Arroyo. So I think offensively speaking, it's going to look very, very similar to what we saw last year with the Seahawks offense. I don't know if it's going to be quite as, you know, dominantly, oh, let's just throw the ball at Jackson Smith and Jigba all the time. I think where it's going to look differently is just in terms of how those opportunities get spread around. But the actual formations, the actual style, all of that expect to look very, very similar to what the Seahawks rolled out last season.
Okay, very good answer. So if it's not Kubiak, then what's the biggest loss in the offseason for this team?
Wow, that's a good question. I want to say Kenneth Walker III, but on the same token, they got Jarian Price. So I'll actually say the biggest loss is Zach Charbonnet. But certainly they're going to get him back at some point this season, especially coming back from injury, being on the physically unable to perform list currently. But not having both of your starting run backs from last season, or that 1-2 combo, that's really going to be difficult, especially as you turn to guys like a rookie in Jadarian Price, who didn't appear in a preseason game. George Halani, a guy who has never really done it at this level. Emmanuel Wilson missed a lot of time in training camp. So I think that, frankly, it's going to be challenging in the run game to start things off the Seahawks. That was the case 2 years ago, and that was the case, frankly, for the first half of last season, too. It was really until that offensive line got going, it was really a challenge, you know, until Kenneth Walker III took over, especially in the postseason. So I think the biggest loss is the fact that you don't have your top two running backs from last season. And not having Charbonnet really, really hurts. Because you could absorb the loss of Walker, but to not have the guy available yet who was your bell cow, led the team in rushing touchdowns last season, it's going to pose problems, I feel like, in the red zone. This could really be a team that turns to its field goal kicker a lot. And as I've written about, Jason Myers, not exactly the best of preseason. So there's certainly a lot of questions about this team going into this opener.
Well, let's tie all of this together then. And we're talking to Andrew Destin. You can follow him on X at Andrew Destin, D-E-S-T-I-N-1. On X, does a great job covering the Seahawks for The Athletic. You wrote this in that story about the new OC, Brian Flory. Reserve running back Emmanuel Wilson has run more routes in practice than he usually did across his first three NFL seasons with the Packers. Ample opportunities to catch passes out of the backfield could loom for rookie Jadarian Price and third-year pro George Halani. And the Seahawks loved throwing the football last year to the aforementioned Walker and Charbonnet. Could we see Darnold sprinkle it to both of these guys tonight?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I think that kind of goes to the point earlier of it's not going to be all just Jackson Smith and Jigba. Listen, they love that guy. They want to throw it to him as much as they can, get it in his hands as frequently as possible. That being said, there's been so much conversation, I feel like, this offseason, this draft process, of how Jadarian Price is not a good pass catcher, doesn't have the best hands, doesn't have a lot of experience there. Frankly, I would be, you know, pretty optimistic that he's going to get the ball a lot out of the backfield, especially on those early downs, and as he works his way into third down opportunities. So whether it's Price, whether it's Halani, they want to get the running backs involved. They want them to be safety valves for Darnold. And that's not to say that it's going to be dinking and dunking down the field where it's just passes out of the backfield to your running backs and throwing it to your tight ends in the flat. I think it's more this offense is going to try to be less boom and bust. Boom or bust, which is what I kind of found it to be last year, where it was basically Smith and Jigba, you go as he goes. If Rashid Shaheed can beat you deep down the field, maybe you get it to him. But those intermediate throws weren't there. That's where the running backs can come into this a lot. And I think that you could see guys coming out of the backfield and being featured prominently, both with Price and Halani.
So I think this isn't getting enough attention, but they averaged 31 points a game at home last year. To me, it's astonishing that they won 14 games, but they had the second most turnovers in the league. So what happens if Sam doesn't turn the ball over like they didn't turn it over one time in the playoffs?
Right. If they can do that more frequently, and I think that's maybe that's bullish on my end to expect that, because let's be candid, right? This is the third offensive coordinator in 3 years for the Seahawks. Why was it a challenge for the first half of the season in terms of turnovers and things like that? I'm being honest, it probably is because they were learning a new offense, learning a new offensive coordinator. So sure, you can pin it on, oh, Darnold was, you know, not careful with the ball and was too lackadaisical with it. I don't think it was that. I think it was the guys in the offense still trying to get it together, still trying to get on the same page. So what I'm expecting here is, yeah, you might see some of those turnovers to start the season. You might see some of that more lackadaisical play. But that being said, down the stretch last season, this offense really found its groove and took care of the football. That's what Mike McDonald wants out of this offense. I think the expectation should be they are going to take care of the football probably better than they did in the first half of last season, but expect some issues, expect some trials, tribulations, some growing pains to come with having a new offensive coordinator.
Andrew, how much do you think the Seahawks are going to miss Nick Amonwori tonight?
Oh, they're going to miss him a ton. Here's the question. I don't know who they're going to miss more, Nick Amonwori or Ty Okada. And then, just to report it out there, what I'm hearing doesn't sound like Nick Amonwori is going to play. I know he's listed as questionable right now with that ankle issue. I don't think he's going to play tonight. So the fact that your back end is so banged up with no Okada, no Amonwori, and then let's extrapolate it a little bit further. No Kobe Bryant, who was a starting safety last season. No Reek Woolen, who was a third cornerback for them last season. You're going to be putting a lot of pressure on, admittedly, some very talented players in Josh Jobe, in Devin Witherspoon, in Julian Love. These are guys who are very capable, very competent players. That being said, there's a lot of turnover there in the back end. So I think the onus is really going to fall on that front seven to get after Drake May and make life difficult for him. Otherwise, that secondary could get exposed, especially, correct me if I'm wrong here, New England's receiving core, a little more solid than last year at this time.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to see that pass rush get home again tonight? They had 6 sacks and they were all over me in the playoffs. And that wasn't the only game, by the way. So he didn't face a top 10 defense in the entire regular season. He faced nothing but top 10 defenses in the postseason. He took 21 sacks in those 4 games.
Yeah, I think we could see that again. And it's a question, right? Drake May is 1 year older, one more year experienced in the NFL. So I think absolutely you could see the Seahawks continue to get after him. But maybe there is some growth. Maybe there is more. I'm more acclimated to playing in the NFL. These pass rushes, I know how to handle these kinds of opportunities. So I think it's going to go either way. My expectation is this pass rush is still excellent, and it helps the Seahawks cause that really the only guy they lost is Boye Mafe. And who did you replace him with? Just Dante Fowler Jr., who is one of the more accomplished pass rushers of the last decade. So I think this is going to be very, very difficult for the Patriots to keep May upright. The way that they do that is with that quick passing, with exposing that back end if they are able to do so. So, you might see the Patriots take more shots down the field. If they don't, well, May might be on his back a lot tonight. So I think that's kind of the expectation, or what the game plan, frankly, should be if I was an offensive coordinator.
About a minute to go here, Andrew. So final, what's your prediction for tonight's game overall, the score? And then how many wins do you think the Seahawks get this year? Do they win their division?
Yeah, I guess I'll start with the first one. Is I'm expecting this to be a tight game. I think it's going to come down to special teams. Call me cliche, but there's a reason this spread is at what it is at 3 points there. I think that Seattle wins by a touchdown. And if not, it's because they struggle in the kicking game. I'm really concerned about Jason Myers. I really don't know what the issue was there in the preseason. Making 2 of 5 field goals and missing a couple of extra points. I expect Seattle to win. That being said, I do expect them to also take a step back this season. So 12-5, 11-6, that's kind of the range I'm looking at. I think the Rams are going to win this division. It's a really tough division, too. And you look at some of these games that Seattle has on the road, whether it's at the Broncos, it's at the Eagles in December, playing the Rams in January at their place, at Commanders in week 3 could be very difficult. So it's a tough road slate. It's a tough slate in general for the Seahawks. So expecting them to pull it out tonight in a close one. Special teams will be huge, and expecting them to possibly take a step back this season as well.
Hey, Andrew, great spot. Thanks so much for the time, especially from the stadium. Thank you. Enjoy the game.
Guys, thanks so much for the time. Happy to hop on anytime. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Follow him on X at AndrewDestin1, covers the Hawks for The Athletic. Up next, win some, lose some. This will now happen for the 18th consecutive year. You got to love it. Paulie has the details next.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by The Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Paulie Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Iconic all-time match, U.S. Open. Ben Shelton, 3-1.
6-1 in play after losing the first set to Alcaraz. He had played him, I think they'd played five times. He'd only won one set against him. And it got over at 3:30 in the morning. It was the fifth latest match in history, the latest match in U.S. Open history. 18 years now, we won't have a repeat champ at the U.S. Open. Second longest streak. And it's the first U.S. Open where multiple quarterfinals went to a fifth set tiebreak. So what do we do? It was the heavily anticipated match that everyone wanted to see, but nobody got to see the finish because it ended at 3:30 in the morning.
No, hold on. No, you just got to suck it up.
On the East Coast?
100%.
Oh, you can't. That's tough on a Tuesday night.
I got a big reaction to a tweet I sent out late, or past midnight on the East Coast. Where are you watching?
Uh-huh.
Are you going to go to bed? They're like, absolutely not.
That's tough.
Staying up the whole time.
They should have put the Pegula match late.
Well, why do they have to all play at Arthur Ashe?
They don't have to.
They don't have to, correct?
No. That's a bad move. Their counter is going to be the Tiafoe match screwed it up because it went 4:45, and then that pushes everything back. And then you saw it. Once that ends, then the night session starts. But you got to clear out everyone from the day session and clean, and then bring everyone in from the night session. That's a 45-minute ordeal.
Right. Some of those points were absolutely astonishing last night between those two elite tennis players. And I will say this. Yesterday's action combined on the men's side, if you want to throw the Pegula match in there, fine. That's just, that you can. I would say that yesterday was on par with any single day that we had in the World Cup this summer. That's how good the tennis was yesterday.
Four Americans left. America, F yeah. Two in the women, two in the men. And we get the showdown Friday, Tiafoe against Shelton.
Actually, that's a good prop to put up.
Offer
of both.
Oh, sure.
Will an American man and an American woman both win the U.S. Open?
Not bad.
Offer that as a two-team parlay, essentially.
Yeah, it could be American against American, too, if Pegula faces Coco. And Coco just won. So this is crazy.
How would you like to face 100? How do you see 150-mile-an-hour serve coming
at you? That's the thing. Should we have seen that coming? Like, at least he'd get a set. So you got a guy off wrist surgery who's missed 4 months, bad wrist, and it's 150 miles an hour coming at you. Right? In the biggest 100% match of his life and ever.
By the way, what do you make of that? Each guy won a set 7-6.
I couldn't believe it. The swings in this sport are crazy.
And then each guy won a set 6-1.
Yes. Right.
That doesn't happen every day.
Madness. Right? Like, there's no way he's going to break Shelton's serve. And then he started breaking his serve on a rig. Right? Like, I don't think he can break Alcaraz's serve. And then he broke him three times in a row. And then it was a struggle just to hold serve for him.
What do you think of Shelton's game overall?
Oh, it's great. Guy's the limit, I think.
He's must-watch TV. I mean, Alcaraz is as well.
Okay. Are you concerned about a letdown, though? He's 350.
I saw that.
350.
Boy. I don't know about that number.
I know. Worried about a letdown. A little concerned about the dad. The dad really...
Well, do they have to show it?
I mean, come on. High five. Come on. I mean, ESPN. One thing... The lock of all locks. They will find the parents and they will show them 50 times. Quarterback's mom, tennis player's mom, dad. Lock it up 50 times. There it is.
You might as well just have a split screen up there.
Anyways, there was a great point, and they show the dad. He does the "Are you not entertained?" to the crowd. Are you playing, buddy? Okay.
Well, I mean, he's got to be. It's tough not to be completely jacked up to the gills watching a match like that live.
Yeah. Yeah. Cam Schlittler, most Ks, 5-1. Most runs, Dead Heat, Guardians, and Pirates.
That'll do it, by the way.
20 and 25-1. That'll do it?
It is all over.
He's going to get it?
The Cy Young. Yeah, they have like two or three.
Oh, the Cy Young.
How does he lose the Cy Young?
Yeah. 10 road teams won. Also win some. Jalen Brunson will host the opening SNL to start the season.
Jalen Brunson, huh?
All right. Looking forward to that.
Wow.
All right. You told me this is good. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos at Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on Will Hill with a dog video out in the backyard with his kids.
Okay. Yeah. So he sent me this the other day. Now, this is Charlie, right? And he's got an entire pack of hot dogs in his mouth. And I think it's like the whole Hill crew here trying to track him down and say, hey, buddy.
How'd he steal the hot dogs?
That I don't know. I should have asked
him. Charlie's on the move, too. Good luck.
And by the way, look at the wiggles that he has.
Uh-huh.
I told Will it's Barry Sanders out there.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You think that they have him trapped, and then he's going to zig, he's going to zag. They had no chance to track this kid down.
Oh, the whole family still know him. Oh, no way.
He's like, just please, for the one time I hit the jackpot here, I got an entire pack of hot dogs. Can I just eat these in peace? I got to run around like a madman here in the yard. Nice yard, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Good luck catching him running around.
They actually did. Eventually, he like dialed it down.
Right? Yeah. He had enough? Catch him with the hot dogs. That's excellent. He's got the hot dogs in his mouth. That's beautiful. How about a lose some? Luke sent this in. This was all over social media. Oh, man. He's a talented guy, but at some point, he's got a $10 million house in Malibu. Nick Cage wakes up, and the house sunk into the ground in a sinkhole. Look at this. Had to shut everything off, and it just collapsed in. But look, if you see the beginning, though, it's like you can't.
Oh.
I mean, how bad is it? I know. But you can't keep building the houses out toward the ocean. You're running out of real estate. You can't do that. And then between that and the rain and the storms they've had, it takes. And then they're worried about the neighbors' homes, too. Is it just like out of a movie, the whole thing just sinks into the ground.
How big is that sinkhole?
I know. It's massive. Right out of a movie.
10 stories if it was a foot.
I know. My God. $10 million beachfront property in Malibu.
Look at that thing.
Bye-bye.
Hawaii got absolutely pounded.
Saw that too. Bad beats. Nats plus 150. Led 4-1 in the eighth. Big win for the Padres as they come back and win. Starts tonight. NFL. Can't wait. Sharp plays. They track every line before the public ever sees it. Exclusive data feeds from the four major books. Thousands of sharp bettors and pro syndicates, all filtered and sorted by their AI model. Every play logged, every result public, records back to 2011, live log since 2021, no login, no paywall, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the sharp money at sharpplays.com and look for the daily Mr. Poison tweets. Get all his future plays as well. Jeff and the crew are excellent. Sharpplays.com. Football's here.
So golf advances now, and she'll play. I'm trying to get my timelines all. Today feels like Thursday.
One, two, three, four, all advanced to the semis of the women.
And then
they play tomorrow.
They play tomorrow. And then the winner obviously plays on Saturday for the finale. So she's going to go for another title here. And then
Sabalenka going for the three-peat. That's impressive.
Shelton gets a big break because now he doesn't play again until Friday.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, the men play Friday. The women play tomorrow.
Yeah, big. That's big.
Yep. You got Kramer? You got me some Kramer? What he's doing tonight? All right. First touchdown props. Instant gratification. First touchdown of the game. Our guy Kramer hit several of these last year.
Well, how about before we get his, do you want to throw on your guy Brady Russell? He's 100-1 or higher.
Yeah, try
Kramer! Kramer!
He loves the tight ends. He loves the backup tight ends. Although he didn't go with the kid from Notre Dame, but he's going Drake.
Very disappointed in Kramer for not doing that. Come on, pal.
Yeah, Drake May. Oh, you got the Costanza off there. The bobblehead with this on the couch with the shirt off. We have Drake May. We have Arroyo. We have Barner. And we have Hunter Henry for the selection tonight. First touchdown of the game.
I don't mind Arroyo, certainly. Well, first of all, who am I to doubt Ryan Kramer? He's the goat at doing this. But also our conversation in the previous segment, I thought was pretty strong. Right? Our guest live from Seattle talking about how the tight ends and the running backs are going to be used more.
I'm very spooked because I bet Seattle longest made field goal of the game. He said twice.
He brought up
he's concerned about Jason Myers.
I actually wanted to ask you about that because you have a bet on Fairbairn to lead the league in field goals this year.
Yeah, Myers was number two in the league.
Well, he's drifted out to like plus 750. He was third today when I looked. Well, based on how panicked he was, or he made it sound in the previous segment, I don't know about that.
Well, how about the other guy though? The guy in New England was a mess too.
He was. But also it could just be a blip on the radar in the preseason, and he could come out there and have four field goals tonight in the game.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm talking about Myers now.
Right. Yeah. But still both teams to make a 33-yard field goal though. I'm fine with that. That's $1.10.
You know, May almost touched 300 yards passing in the Super Bowl last year.
Well, it's Fugazi though.
No, I'm talking about his player prop for tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. I know it's Fugazi. I think you have multiple angles where he goes over the prop again tonight because it's so low. And
I don't know who though. I don't know. So it'll be interesting to see what the new look and the guys they brought in, if he spreads it around, if he focuses more on AJ, what that's like. I also, we didn't have time, but I know they've, Fleury, and they talked about a bigger emphasis on getting Shahid involved too. He's only 31 and a half.
The great Sal Pelantonio on the program next. He's picking games for week one, and he will give us his official Super Bowl prediction next.